I'm always encouraged each time their creative team comes up with their whole presentation. It's just amazing. They're great talent and very grateful for them. We're talking about not by me, but by grace. And so this message is really all about God's grace and what it does in our life and how he works through his grace. The scripture, let's read it together. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning, help us to hear your voice, not mine, and we'll be faithful to follow. In Christ's name, amen. There's so much that is to be learned and understood. It really does go way past our understanding to understand God's grace. But all that happens in our life, everything that happens in our life, it's all by grace. It's all by grace. I don't think we can fully grasp it. Every kind of example that we try to give breaks down at some point because it's beyond what we can conceive and what we can pull together. But I want to share with you an illustration that I think helps a little bit for us to be able to gain a little better understanding of God's grace. Shortly after the Korean War, a Korean woman had an affair with an American soldier. She got pregnant. He went back to the United States, and she never saw him again. She gave birth to a little girl, and this little girl looked different than the other Korean children. In the culture, children of mixed race were ostracized by the community. In fact, many women would kill their children because they didn't want them to face such rejection. But this woman didn't do that. She tried to raise her little girl as best she could. This went on for 7 years. But then the rejection started taking its toll. Finally, this unwed mother did something that probably nobody in this room could imagine ever doing. She abandoned her little girl to the streets. For the next 2 years, this little girl had to figure out life in a hard world, which was made even harder because of which she was obviously different. People were terribly harsh with her. She was tagged with one of the ugliest words in the Korean language to describe her mixed lineage. It didn't take long for this little girl to draw conclusions about herself on the way people treated her. But in her 9th year of life, something unexpected happened that changed everything. First, this little girl found an orphanage and was taken in. This meant some measure of security would return for her, and she wouldn't have to make food, clothing, and shelter her daily pursuit. The second thing that happened was within a few days of her arrival, word came that a couple from America was going to adopt a little boy. All the children in the orphanage got excited because at least one little boy was going to have hope. He was going to have a family. So this little girl spent the day polishing up the youngest boys, giving them baths and combing their hair. Everyone was wondering which boy would have the dreams come true. This time, the time came when the couple arrived. I'll let you hear what happened in this girl's own words. It was like Goliath come back to life. I saw the man with his huge hands lift up each and every baby. I knew he loved every one of them as if it were his own. I saw tears running down his face, and I knew if they could, they would have taken the whole lot home with them. And then he saw me out of the corner of his eye. Now let me tell you, I was 9 years old, but I didn't even weigh 30 pounds. I was a scrawny thing. I had worms in my body. I had lice in my hair. I had boils all over me. I was full of scars. I was not a pretty sight. But the man came over to me, and he began rattling away something in English. I looked up at him, and then he took his huge hand and laid it on my face. What was he saying? He was saying, "I want this child. This is the child for me." If you can enter that story and feel what it's like to be totally unlovable and yet be wanted, if you can echo the experience of feeling in the same moment both unworthiness and great love, then you're close to the movement of God's heart towards you in grace. What an incredible thing that God would love us at our most unlovable stage. He will love us so much that he would give his very life for us. What an incredible gift that we have. Paul says it this way as he talks, but God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. What an incredible passage to help you really grasp just a little bit more the grace of God and how it's extended to every one of us. There are several things that we would really derive from that passage. One is we know grace is undeserved. It's undeserved. You couldn't do anything to receive that. You couldn't do any good thing. You can't be good enough. You can't be worthy. There's nothing that you could be able to do. You can try to sort it through and try to understand it, but you can't because it's undeserved. What an incredible gift that he brings to us. Now, grace is defined when we look at it and we look at the definition. The scripture really says it so clearly. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. It's his kindness that draws us to him. We are drawn by that. And what a difference that would make. I got reports from our first service and online audience, and there were 7 people that trusted Christ this morning in our first service. Yeah. And the message is not exactly evangelistic. I didn't really say pray this prayer, but I said over and over, it's his kindness that draws us to him. It's his kindness that really made us want to respond to the invitation for Jesus. That's the difference maker for every one of us. And if it's his kindness that draws us to him, why wouldn't we want to demonstrate his kindness to our world around us? Instead of being critical or judgmental or harsh or however it would come across, why not be known as the people of God that demonstrate kindness? Because that's what the gospel is all about. That's what drew us to him, and that's what'll draw other people to the gospel as well. Because when they see kindness in us, it draws them to say, I want that for my life. You see, he showered his kindness on us. It's only by grace that you are saved. You can't take credit for it. You can't say anything that I was worthy or I was good enough or I was educated enough or I gave enough or I did all of this. I grew up in a church or my family was Christian. No. None of that matters. It's not a matter of anything that you do. It's a matter of what he does for us. It's his kindness. And you can't take credit for his grace that is given in your life. Here's what scripture says. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift of God. I can't feel proud of anything that I've done. I can only be grateful for what God has done. That's the difference that has to happen. And that's the focus that needs to be a part of our lives as we continue to seek to know his grace more and more. Grace changes our position. What a gift. He says this, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated with us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So he's seated us. He's given us a position that is totally undeserved, totally different from anything that we had. He's brought us into this whole new place of experience with him. It's all because of God's kindness to us, and that's how it works. His kindness creates that trust in us that we can trust him. You know, there's such an importance of making sure that we are consistent, even as parents. You know, they say one of the greatest things that a parent can give to a child is consistency. And so that would be that they can anticipate what you think or feel because you're consistent. Well, I want to tell you, there's no one who's more consistent than God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And that's how we know. And what does that tell us? It tells us I can trust his kindness to me. I can feel safe with God. I can feel safe in my relationship with him. A scripture says, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So it's his grace and his kindness that has been showered out on us that helps us to feel safe in him. Grace draws us. There are a number of things that grace does in our lives. And so for each of these things, as we try to understand, we have to try to understand how does this happen? Well, you didn't exactly choose to say, I think I'm going to go to church today, or I think I'm going to be online and watch church today, or I'm going to participate in all of this. You didn't exactly say that on your own. It was really God's grace that drew you. It's God's grace that made it possible that you could be here. It's God's grace that began working inside of you, and it kind of is like a magnet. It draws you into that relationship with him. God planned to give you grace before you were even born. Wow. Before you even came into existence, God's grace was already there. It was already drawing you into that relationship with him. Here's what scripture says, but even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. You are chosen, you are called by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him. Yes. What can we do other than say thank you? What can we do other than be grateful? Because it's his grace that chose us. It's his grace that drew us. It's his grace that calls us and then pleases him. God gives us grace when we humble ourselves before him. Pride will always be the enemy of grace. Pride will always be the enemy of grace. When you let your pride stand in the way from humbling yourself before God, you're not going to get grace. If you want God's grace, then I have to humble myself to be willing to say, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It doesn't matter whether I'm rejected. It doesn't matter if I have to humble myself, admit my wrong, admit whatever. That doesn't matter because I want God's grace more than anything else. That's what we really need to focus on. Here's what scripture says. He gives grace generously. He gives grace generously. However, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So he will give generous amount of grace to us if we're willing to humble ourselves. And sometimes that means admitting I was wrong, admitting my failure, admitting I need Jesus, admitting before other people, I need Jesus. Yes, and then you get a generous portion of God's grace. God, in his grace, chose you. So when we see him drawing us, God's grace draws us, we know that it is the same today, for a few of the people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness in choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. Free and undeserved. Now, it's free, not that it didn't cost Jesus. It cost him his life. But he's offering it to you free and undeserved. You didn't do anything that would say you merit or you earned his grace. Nope. All you did was humble yourselves and make yourselves available to receive it. It's a gift, and a gift isn't really ours until we receive it. There could be a gift that is there, and that's nice that there's a gift, but you don't have it until you receive it. And that's the importance of understanding. Now, God's grace not only draws us, but it saves us. So that drawing grace, they call it prevenient grace. It's kind of before you even come to him, his grace is already drawing you into that relationship. Then God's grace, grace gives us the free gift. And so that's what it is, the free gift that comes. Here's what scripture says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it is a free gift that he gives to us just because you make yourself available to him. We also know that grace is given through Jesus Christ's death. So it's given through his death. That's how it was made available, and that's how it came. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. That's exactly what happens. And so you don't have to taste death because he did it for us. Do we deserve it? No, but he made that possible for every one of us. Now, grace also saves us by our belief. So what has to happen? What is my part in receiving grace? It's belief. It's, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he gave his life for me. I believe that he wants to come into my heart. I believe he has new life for me. I believe his grace is sufficient for me. So it's by belief. We believe that we are all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's exactly how it happens. That undeserved grace comes by my belief. Grace equips us. So grace draws us, grace saves us, grace equips us. And so everything you need for life is going to be provided for you by God's grace. So grace will help us when we are in need. I want to say that, you know, there are many times people will say, I'm not afraid of death, but I am afraid of dying. Like that process that happens that goes there, that scares me. And they don't say, I don't know how I can handle this. Let me say this. God will give you grace when you need it. He'll give you the grace, not before, but he'll give you the grace when you need it. Some people say, well, I could never handle, and then they kind of have a list of things I could never handle, cancer. And I want to say, let me say this. God will give you the grace when you need it, not before. So if you're saying, I'm not sure I can handle, I'm not sure I have the faith or the grace to believe that this, God will give you the grace when you need it. It won't come before, but it'll come at the time when you're trusting him and you need it. Whatever is in your future, whatever is ahead for you, whatever is out there, let me say this, God will give you grace when you need it. And that's how he'll carry you. Here's what scripture says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. When you need it most. Whatever you're going to face in your future, you may think, I could never handle that. I could never face that. I could never deal with that. Let me say, God will give you grace when you need it. You don't have to anticipate ahead of time. You don't have to say, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle that? That's called worry. He told us not to do that. He wants us to come boldly. Lord, you promised that you would give me grace. This is the time I need it. And he will. And you can ask boldly for that, and he will give that to you. God's grace is greater than human wisdom. Sometimes we kind of think we can outthink God and that we can trust our own human wisdom. Let me say, you can't. You can't. You need to trust his grace. Here's what he says. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. We have to depend on God's grace. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it doesn't add up in our mind. And then I have to say, I'm just going to have to trust your grace because I can't figure this out. Here, that is how we have to have conducted ourselves before the world and especially toward you. It may not make sense, but his grace is always there and he will walk with us through whatever it is. God's grace will strengthen us. Whatever you're facing, whatever you go through, you can trust it. Each time, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Paul asked God three times, could you just take away this thorn? Could you just help me not to have to go through this, whatever it is before me? Could you remove the obstacles, the difficulties from my life? Could you just make life easier? And what does God say? No, it's for your good. And my grace is going to be with you. And so that means when you need it most, he'll be with you. He has grace to walk through this. Whatever you're walking through, whatever you're coming through, continue to trust him because he said, my grace is all you need. He doesn't lie. It's there. Grace grows us. It draws us. It saves us. It equips us. It grows us. And so as we start to understand how he wants his grace to grow in our lives, we see that growth is equipped by grace. So you're going to find that growth that's going to happen is going to happen as a result. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. In other words, I can get more and more grace. How do I get more grace? I want more grace. That's for sure. I want to know as much grace as I can have. I need it in my life. And so how does that happen? By growing in my knowledge of God. And how do I grow in knowledge of God? Well, I grow in knowledge by his word. That's one of the things I need. That's why I tell you, read the Bible daily. Read it every day. Because the more you know God, the more you can trust him, and the more grace that'll come in your life. And so continue to put that in your life. That's going to add up. That's going to be strengthening to you. So make sure there's a generous amount of God's word and grow in that knowledge so you can grow in grace. So that means I'm going to continue to get more grace. I'm going to experience more of God in result. Growth builds. What does he say? Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. And so whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. So the fact is that this growth is a building process. Grace is a building process. He's going to keep building in our lives as you're obedient, as you humble yourself before him. He's going to continue to build, and that's going to continue to happen. Now, growth requires effort. So it's kind of a strange kind of mix of things as we try to understand this. Although you do nothing for it, you have to understand that it does require effort. So let's try to see what that means. Scripturally, he says, I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So you keep surrendering yourself to him, keep putting yourself in the place where God can work, and you're going to experience more of God's grace. That means you're going to have to make more choices that are right choices. So the more right choices you make, now does that require effort? It does. It is a challenge. It's going to be an ongoing piece for us. But the more you continue to make right choices, the more God's grace is going to continue to be evident in your life. So grace gifts us as well. So we understand that he draws us and he saves us and he equips us, and we understand that he grows us, but he also gifts us. So how does this look? By grace, we come into a right relationship with God. This right relationship is often called righteousness. So if you see in Scripture, it talks about righteousness, really what it's saying is you have a right relationship. And so that's what we desire, to have a right relationship with God. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right. So God's grace makes us righteous. In his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. So that's an ongoing process as well of continuing to keep us and develop us in a right relationship. By God, by grace, he calls us to serve him. And so you're not called to sit, you're called to serve. And so that means I'm going to be doing what I can be doing to serve God by serving others. God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news, by spreading this good news, by God's grace and mighty power. So we share the good news with others, and by his grace that happens. So that's going to keep going and keep going as we continue. And then we see by grace, we are gifted to serve. So his grace gives us spiritual gifts. When you invite Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And because the Spirit is in you, he gives you spiritual gifts. That means he gives you an ability to do certain things that would be not natural, but supernatural, because they're spiritually discerned. Here's what it said. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So each of you has a gift that God has given to you, and he wants to use that gift and help you to do things well. Now, some people have more gifts than others. It's not a matter of jealousy, like, wow, how comes they got those gifts and how comes I got this gift? Because then you're not humbling yourself before God, and you're not going to get more grace. But it's more of, God has given me what I need at the time I need to serve him best. So I'll just use whatever I have. And you humble yourself before God, and you find he'll continue to use those gifts to make that difference. Grace will lead us home. It's all about grace. It's all about God's grace working through us. First, we know his grace is with us all the way. So whatever you face, whatever you go through, just come back and say, Lord, I know your grace is with me. I know you're helping me. I know you're working through me. I know you're going to be with me. Paul says, may God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is like forever. That's the good news of the gospel that he brings to us. His grace is in our past, our present, and our future. No matter what's been a part of your past, no matter what sin has been in your past, God's grace is great enough to forgive and keep that in the past. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what you're going through right now, God's grace is enough to carry you through. No matter what's ahead and what you can't even anticipate, God's grace is gonna be there at the time you need it most. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, who is present, who was past, who is to come future. That's the God that we serve, and his grace is that powerful. His grace promises us an inheritance in heaven. He says this, "And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself." That's us. And so we see that there's an inheritance that he has prepared for us as we look toward our future. His grace makes us confident of heaven. We don't have to hope we're going to go to heaven when we die. We can know you're going to heaven. Here's what scripture says: because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Confidence that we will inherit eternal life. That's the good news. And that's what we can trust. And so that is a part of God's grace working in us, working through us, and all that we would need. God has good things that he wants to do ahead, and we need to make sure our trust is in him for his grace. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you, first of all, for grace. Thank you for the powerful word. It means so much in our lives. It's undeserved, and yet you've been faithful to bring it to us. Lord, we know that not only our past can be forgiven by your grace, but our present, whatever we're walking through right now, your grace is sufficient. And whatever is in our future and out ahead, it may be more than we can even begin to understand. But Lord, we know that you're in our future and your grace will carry us. So Father, our hope, our trust is in you. Let your grace rest on each one that is hearing your word. Let them be responsible to humble themselves that they might grow in grace, learn more and more, have the knowledge of you, Father, that they might draw near to you. And for all of this, we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Hey, welcome to the post-sermon wrap-up. This is Pastor Eddie and
Pastor Mandy here. Good to be with you guys. So glad that you joined us online.
Yeah, what a great sermon. I think there's a ton of takeaways, but I think one of the things that I want to focus on during this time is how we can give grace away this week.
Yeah, it's so important to be reminded that God's grace is given to us every single day. But I think the call for us as Christians is, how can we give that grace to others, especially people who've never even had an encounter with Jesus?
Yeah, since grace is a gift that's given undeservedly, right? What if this next week, let's say you go out to eat and you have a bad waiter or waitress. What if you actually, instead of like not tipping them at all, what if you tip them extra even when they were a bad waiter or waitress?
Pastor Eddie, you just blew my mind. And how about this? So there's all of this, especially on social media, with what do we do going back to school and the teachers and the administration and the leadership, I think, has such a tough decision to make. And what about instead of sharing your opinions, you actually reach out to them and maybe let them know you're praying for them, or just kind of share some encouraging words, because it's so easy to share our opinion, but to really be positive in that moment.
I think that idea is pure fire.
And speaking of fire,
the bonfire weekend for families. It's August 29th, 6 to 9 p.m. Registrations are open and out, so check your emails. If for whatever reason you didn't get one of those emails, let us know, please.
Yeah, we are so excited, and we're trying to do this in a socially distanced way. We're trying to make sure we can still see each other and have an awesome time. And it's actually behind the mushroom plant at the Milton campus. And if you're not familiar with the mushroom plant, Eddie, do you want to tell them where it's at?
Yeah, so we're actually going to have parking lot attendants. They'll have signs that will help you as you're pulling onto campus. But if you're taking the first left onto our campus, it's an immediate left, like out into the boonies. And so I'd recommend follow the signs.
Yeah, it's going to be so awesome. And we have another event that we are so pumped about, and that's Baptism Sunday. And it's happening on August 30th following second service at our Melton campus.
It's going to be crazy. I've heard that there's going to be over 40 people that are being baptized. It's going to be an insane celebration together, so you're not going to want to miss it. A few other things that we have coming up are the Dive Deep podcasts on Mondays. We'd really encourage you to check that out because those podcasts dive deep.
And they are fire.
And then we also have our daily devotionals Tuesday through Thursday. The people that are doing those, man, they are just so incredible and insightful, and you see everyone's different personalities. So what we're trying to say is we want to connect with you. We want to connect with your families. We want to connect with all the other believers within our church, and we want to dive deep together.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We can't wait to do it again next week.
See ya.